Did you sleep in a van?
No, just rolled out of bed. I'm at home.
Uh-oh.
But we've got some tame electrical engineers sleeping on my workshop floor this morning, so I thought I won't go in there and
as soon as
tread
recorded,
on them just to record a
you
podcast.
You made it unhappy.
So. Huh?
Froze. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe we're back.
And we're back. Hi.
Maybe. Okay. You're joining us from a van down by the river?
Yes. Down by the river? No, by home. By home. But I had a couple of tame electrical engineers sleeping on my workshop floor last night, so I thought I'd leave them alone and not tread on them at 6 a.m. So, yes, that's the in-car studio. It's quite nice, actually.
Stories there. Did you have an electrical engineer party last night, or?
No, there was a gig. A gig in Castlemaine.
Really slow.
Is it? Why is it slow? My internet.
It feels like there's a second and a half delay.
Far out. Internet is quick.
You're in a Faraday cage.
You reckon? Is it just a long lag?
Yeah, to some degree. Yeah.
I see
almost
it.
2 seconds before I feel like you hear what I say.
Yeah, right. Crazy.
It's like we're doing Morse code podcasting.
Okay, just don't talk. We won't talk over each other. Try not to.
It's really funny. Like, can you imagine trying to talk to the space station or some like space thing where they're just like, no, Steve, you, no, what? No, I don't want you to go. Stop.
Yeah, that's us this morning. Long,
oh, daddy.
I'm in the space station. Apparently, long delay. So yeah. Well, maybe we will talk over each other constantly.
Tell
we will
me,
see.
Tell me about your day or your
okay.
Your week.
I will. It's been 2 weeks since we chatted. I have been fairly distracted by the sort of culmination of my consulting job, where I was setting up a workshop for somebody, past client, who are taking the manufacturing of their products in-house. And so that was a consulting gig, advising them on that, on the design of their workshop and what machines to buy and blah, blah, blah. And then that culminated last week in being in Melbourne all week and actually doing the workshop build. So in, you know, managing the transport of machines, landing them in the workshop and then proceeding to commission them and set it all up for them. So that was pretty fun. I did it with an old friend who used to work for us years ago, just a really sort of talented, do-it-all, can-do-anything sort of guy, Tom. And, yeah, we just
God, I want one of those.
Stayed in the city and just built a workshop for someone else, which is pretty... I mean, I was so familiar with the product line that they're making that it felt very natural and, you know, very valid. It'd be super interesting to try that exercise with a product line or machines that I was less familiar with.
Right.
Yeah, but all in all, a great gig and something I'd be keen to do more of potentially. I don't know. As a bit of a side thing, but yeah, that's kind of been the last 2 weeks for me.
It
was getting ready for
that. It's worthwhile.
Yeah, I was charging quite a high hourly rate just because I did the maths on like, cool, you take me out of my habitat for a week, what's that going to cost the business? Like just in my lack of quoting time, you know, I know what I can quote each week and my conversion rate's quite high. So it's like, cool, but my theoretical value or hourly rate to the business is super high if I'm at home doing my normal thing. So there's no way I can charge them that, but I need to charge them quite a lot for my time on this job. And so I did. And yeah, it worked,
yeah,
it worked out.
I get that for sure.
So yeah, that's been the key distraction. And then I flew back, drove back for one night this week because we had the local business awards. We ended up taking out, we were nominated for two categories and we won one of those, the innovation and tech one. And we ended up taking out the main award category of business of the year for the region, which is pretty cool. A bit of a shock, but wasn't expecting.
Very nice. That's super cool.
That little furniture company would get that one. But yeah, it was awesome. It was fun. So yeah, it was nice. Got to go with some of the team and had a nice night at a food and winey place. And yeah, it was good. Good fun. Yeah. One of the judges for that award category was
quite enjoyable.
Was an Autodesk guy, actually. They had like industry judges come through to judge each award. So we're in the sustainability award, but also in the innovation and tech category. And the judges that came through for the innovation and tech category were like a guy who works at Autodesk on the product team and a woman from a local, a city not far from here, who she was like from a startup, AI startup founder. So it was like these two people in the room. There was immediate, like, we had a lot to talk about, basically. Immediate rapport. So we just wandered around the workshop and chatted, and I showed them things, and it was cool. Yeah, so that's my little recent shenanigans. What's been going on for you? Been busy?
Yeah, kind of unreasonably so. We've had a run of not a ton of client job shop projects, like four maybe, but they've been like one client was back to back with jobs and wanted basically like as fast as we could make these parts for them. And they take a couple steps and are fairly costly. And they're kind of like, I don't know if I've had this circumstance where they're kind of just like, we'll pay whatever to get them as fast as possible. Like, I've had rush jobs. This is the first time I've ever had, we're going through and they miscalculated their timeline. So the rush job they paid for, they contacted me about halfway into that timeline and were like, I don't know what else to say, but like, we'll pay whatever to get them even faster. And I was like, I don't even like, normally I have like my brain, I texted you about it. I was like, more of my brain's like, yeah, okay. That's this amount extra, you know, like a percentage or some amount. And I was like, I've never had a rush job situation. And so I figured out what would make sense to stay late, further, get up early, you know, not see my kid kind of thing. And again, said, you know, this is not something we can keep doing, but in this circumstance, we'll do it. And in the meantime, we had two other jobs that were sizable that I've unfortunately had to like, Ricky's had to be out a couple times unexpectedly. And so I have not done this in a really long time, but I was in one day, I cut three different jobs. Actually, it was 2 days this week, and it was like, not all of them, like jogging between them. Like, oh, I did a little of this one to get this client happy, a little of this one, a little of this one. And I do not miss that at all. It is. I made mistakes that I shouldn't have made. And that's like exactly why I feel like you have to charge way too much money for rush jobs and stuff like that when you're breaking down setups and tools. At both times I didn't tool, I had a giant 3/4 inch diameter cutting tool and plunged into my fixture, and somehow both times it's fine, like came out fine. I, you know, messed up two parts but didn't damage machines or so. I don't know, it's been stressful. And then on top of that, I guess to kind of wrap up the, like, I'll say the stressful section and we can move on, we have agreed to sell the YCM through one of the brokers we had it listed on. And and we've paid it off in terms of what we owed to the person we bought it from, the company. Somehow that didn't get, like, we're going through and I was like, all right, well, I'll start tearing down this room and cleaning it up as soon as I get this money in the bank, right? Like, I need the money. I'm not going to tear it down. They're like, all right. Emails me back. It's like, hey, there's a lien on this machine still. And I barely understand what a lien is. Like, basically, I just think it means somebody says this person owed us money at some point to pay it off, which, you know, every loan seems to have something like that. And it's paid off. So, like, talk to the company and they're like, oh, we don't know of any. That's weird. Where is it located? And so I ended up finding it. And we're still waiting on that. It's been like, it hasn't been that long, but like it's been a, like 30 some hours and it's supposed to leave Tuesday. It's currently Friday and we have to tear apart the room and clean it up. And I'm just like, get it done. Give me the paper that says I can sell the machine.
Far out.
So like I'm a little stressed out. Oh, and my son's daycare got lice.
Hey. Awesome.
Sorry. I jumped in. You were talking?
No, no, I jumped in. I made the mistake of asking a question midstream on this crazy lag.
I have to wait 3 seconds.
Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, my son's dialing the last in. Part of that, my son's daycare got lice, which he did not get. And thus, they had to close while they get rid of it because there was not enough substitutes that wanted to come to help to potentially get lice before Thanksgiving, which is a big holiday here for people to see their families. So we just have a kid to take care of while trying to work for a couple days too.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, over to you.
Beep boop. Yeah, that sounds rather stressful. So it sounds like the loan was never like closed out fully, like you finished paying it off, but someone didn't do the paperwork of like, this is complete now. You are clear to depart.
Yeah, and it's not a common scenario. Like they don't commonly have loans from this company. It was very kind of them the way they did it, and it was paid off pretty quickly. But it's like, yeah, they don't deal with like closing. Yeah, probably didn't even know. I don't know, but so it's in process. I've been told it will work out, but when, I don't know.
Blah, frustrating. Yeah. Okay. And you're happy with the price you got for the the theoretical price you are getting for the YCM?
Yeah, once it's actually sold, I'll say it. But for now,
no, I'm not asking you to say it. I just
we'll see.
Your vibe check.
I'm fine. I'm fine to tell. I'm
yeah.
Fine to say it then.
And the
I'm
the other acronym the new mill.
The new mill. The other acronym. We had training. A person from Selway came to train us. So we showed up at 9, and I think he left at 2. It was super nice dude that had been, he had a 10 years of owning a job shop before he went to work for Selway, right when Selway started up, I guess, or in this region. And so then he's been doing everything from installing machines to training now for quite a while, for like the last 30 years, and kind of knew everything, every question I could possibly ask. I think he had an answer for more or less. Showed me all these cool, Ricky was there for most of it, all these cool, like, kind of off-book, not-in-the-manual, more efficient ways to use the control, like faster ways to tool change, and it was really nice to, like, to have somebody, I think you've experienced this too, where when you're trying to learn something, it's just nice to, like, instantly get the feedback you need to, like, oh, well, I wanted to do this thing, but I don't know how to make the control do that. Is it safe to do that? And he could just easily give us those details. So it's really good, really helpful. Still been too busy to actually do anything productive with it. So soon. Next week, maybe? No, probably not. After Thanksgiving.
Cool. That rush job, the rush job that's being rushed, is that those U-shaped thick plywood parts that you've had on Insta, the drilling cycles?
Yeah. O-shaped. Yep. They're almost 3 inches tall. It's quite the... I mean, I've got it down. The whole thing has gone pretty smoothly. What was tricking me the last little bit there was I was getting minimal amounts of tear out around the top edge, and it's like a showpiece, like very hands-on finished product. So that was the only thing that got me. But yeah, we've made 20 some of them or something like that over the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, wow. It's the same part that was getting put in the vacuum press and sucked together around the other.
Yeah, that was the first run of them. Second run of them got glued up a little differently, but same concept.
Yep.
It's one of those that's the kind of job that it's costly for a lot of reasons, and it doesn't look like it should be, but like the cost of the tooling just to cut the final part is like over $2,000 probably. I'll say right around $2,000. You know, what? giant end mills to cut 3 inches thick, you know, tooling and the collets and the tool holder. It's just the embodied cost that one customer doesn't end up usually paying for, but like you have to have to make it happen efficiently.
Wow.
That's probably high. $1,000 to $2,000. I'm doing the math in my head badly.
It's cool. The other inject into space and hope that it lands. The other update from our end, significant update, is that we got news that we got a planning permit for the new home shed the other day. After, I don't know, about 3 months or
something.
Yeah. So that sort of kicks off the next stage of the process, which is because we've already signed the building contract on the shed build. We're like, yes, we want to do this, but just press like the pause button until we have two things. A planning permit from council saying that we can do this, which we've now got, which is cool. And then so the second thing, the requirement that we put in the contract is that we sell our factory. And Laura negotiated a 12-month period the building contract to say, once we have a planning permit, we've now got 12 months to try and sell our factory. And because we just don't have the capital to initiate a shed build, but also just the massive solar system that's required, which is going to cost more than the shed to have an off-grid, you know, three-phase workshop. It means, you know, it's Friday. No, it's Saturday now, but on Monday I've got a meeting with the real estate agents and we're going to put our factory on the market, which feels big and kind of crazy, but also it's just feeling very right. I feel like I should be kind of freaking out about it, but it just feels pretty next step, cool. Put it on the market. get someone in to start tidying up the property and make it look a bit better and like weed the sawdust down the side and bada bada ba. So yeah, kind of.
That's an amenity.
I don't think jokes work in space, but it was such good timing. Wow, that delay was so long. I reckon that was about 6 seconds of like back return and then back by the time it was back in my ears. Such good timing with doing that workshop build for that client because they needed a like a water wall spray booth for their job. And the water wall is one of the things that I wasn't going to take to the new home shop because it's so power hungry. So I built a new sort of high efficiency dry paper booth style spray booth, like dry filter paper. Built that a couple of weeks ago and swapped it for the water wall. So we sold the wet booth, and also Cameron, our 10-year-old CNC, was shipped off as part of this job as well. So it means we've kind of cleared the big ticket pieces of equipment that we would have had to have sold anyway to do the downsizing to the home shed. So it's all kind of teed up nicely in a sort of coincidental way. But yeah, feels good. I'm a little bit like John was a bit sad to see Cameron go, our first CNC, because I think, you know, that's been pretty instrumental in terms of his journey of becoming a really skilled CNC operator. And for a long time, it was our favorite machine. Yep. Like after we had Trinity, Cameron was kind of just the more reliable one and had less quirks. Mm-hmm. If we had to do like a high value, high stakes, like, you know, 6-hour 3D contouring job, would be like, no, we're definitely doing that on Cameron because Cameron won't stuff it up.
Yeah.
I think both John and I are a little bit nervous about going down to single. I was going to say single spindle, but it's not true. We've got other spindles in the shop. Like, we've got a robot with, you know, that can has the same has a spindle and the same cutting envelope as the router. Obviously, nowhere near as stiff as the router in terms of machining, but it is a fallback if we needed it.
Right.
But yeah, we're a little bit nervous about going down to that sort of single flatbed router, just because having that contingency was like, so good.
I think it was called Maslow, where it's like attached to like strings and it cuts on a wall, basically.
Yeah. It's got the brick counterweight and the strings. Yeah, yeah. Cool hobby machines, but nah. So yeah, things are progressing and we'll see where that ends up. So basically the next major challenge is trying to find a buyer who wants our shed and our current workshop and who is then willing to buy it and lease it to us for 4 to 6 months as a temporary measure during the transition period.
Right.
Which the agent seems to think that that's a fairly common scenario, but you know, agents are agents and they talk a lot of shit. So not saying these agents do, but just generally as a breed of humans.
Yeah. Right.
There's only so much you can rely on what comes out of their mouths, but yeah, fingers crossed that all pans out. We'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. One thing I was thinking about, like, I have similar feelings about negotiating, which, you know, having a broker sell one of your machines is a weird experience because they basically just are like, kind of like being involved with buying a house, I guess. I've never sold a house. They just come back to you with like the whittled down, like, here's the number. Would you like to say yes or no or change? And I was like, no, that's too low, you know, like a couple times, and got it to where I wanted it. But when I finally got to the moment of like, yes, I like had this whole like gut punch of like, do I want to sell it? Like, that's so soon. What are we going to do? You know, how you have this like kind of clawback of like, I don't know. Now I don't know if I want to sell it. We don't need to. How are we going to make those parts? The other machine's not ready. You start to like, I don't know, not necessarily spin, but I just didn't expect it would. It went from like very few people contacting about it to suddenly somebody over like the course of a day was like, I want this. So just a weird feeling to change that so quickly. So I definitely can relate to like getting rid of a machine like that. Not that I have a lot of affection for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, fingers crossed you get a smooth exit. That loan gets sorted and get it out the door, because it does feel good to, yeah, it's kind of it's scary to let go of an asset like that, but it also feels good to be clear some floor space and some brain space and move on to the next thing. And you know, you can watch the cash come in and then instantly vaporize into a whole bunch of bills in a kind of disappointing way as money seems to flow.
It's not a problem that I've dealt with yet, but I've been trying to think of, in the profit first world, where do you put this influx of cash? Is it just going straight into my income account? I've never like sold something of significant value since I've had profit first. And my goal originally, when I was just thinking about it before I thought about profit first, was like, oh, I'm going to put it into a good portion of it into my debt account that pays for the UMC. So it's always like funded. But then I was like, what if I just put it straight into income and let it like do its own sorting, you know? Have you done something like this with your machine sales?
Yeah. So ours is a slightly different scenario because the way we've structured it, we've kind of got two business entities. So there's the company like Butter that sells furniture, and then there's the partnership, which is also a business entity, which is Laura and I, which is kind of like Butter's old trading entity before we became a company 10 years ago. And so the partnership owns all the main assets. So the partnership owns the building, the CNCs, the vehicle, the anything big ticket. And the company actually pays rent for the use of those assets. And that was just a structure that our accountant encouraged us to pursue. Kind of seen somewhat, I don't know the fine details of like why she encouraged us to set it up like that. But it means that in this instance, when we sell a machine, that value, that cash goes to us personally because we're the ones who, you know, had and still have a finance loan on Trinity. And so that money doesn't flow through the company's like profit first system. But I think if we were just a single company structure and we owned all the machines, then I wouldn't put it through the revenue account. I think I'd put it straight into reserve or like the deep savings reserve account is called in the profit first. I think I'd stash it in there because it's, it feels different to trading revenue. And it feels like, a chunk of cash that can then, back you up rainy day or be capital for the next machine purchase or whatever.
Right. You have these, I forget what you call them, what I wanted to be able to do is to reduce my outstanding debt on the UMC, but like I could just pay a lump sum. It's not going to change. Like it's going to change what I owe, but it's not going to change. I guess it's simple interest loan. So I guess it would help. But the interest is so low that it's not really like a huge concern. You know, it's like more helpful to have the cash. So anyway,
I had a little thought
about that, but I don't have the money yet, so it's not a problem.
I think if you're on a low interest loan for the machine, then the cash is going to be way more valuable to you than reducing the interest over the life of the loan, I would have thought. It'd be super valuable over the life of the loan if you're paying some silly interest rate. And, what you're alluding to, like what we do with offset accounts, which reduce mortgage, the factory mortgage and the home mortgage, like
offset.
Those things are great. They reduce the interest over the life of the loan hugely just through cumulative effect. But yeah, I would have thought cash flow is king. Pretty handy stuff.
Cash flow is king. Yep. A little note on the I'll go get it.
Show and tell. Show and tell in space.
I didn't have this at the time I had ordered it, but the UMC to calibrate or measure its center of rotation, or sometimes called like center line. It's called different things, but Haas calls it an MRZP or machine rotational zero point. And they sell this kit. I told you it didn't come with it. It's supposed to come with every five axis, and somehow it just didn't get sent from the seller. But it's $550 or something to buy a new part of it. And the new part is just a ball on a stick that's really accurate. And you just tap that into anything. You can just put it in a vise, and then you basically probe to the top of it. And then it probes itself with a series, and then it starts to like do different probing measurements of that. And then it finds through what I can only imagine is trigonometry where that is, you know, cool. where the center of rotation is. And it measured at, I did this math pretty quickly while it was happening. It didn't give us like a perfect readout, but it was 3/10 in X, 6/10 in Y, and 6/10 in Z, different than the last time it was measured before it moved. So
I don't know what those numbers are.
I'm surprised it didn't have more movement, I guess, since
what are those numbers?
Nothing to you.
Nothing, just imperial with lots of decimal points.
Three tenths or 0.003 inch is 0.0076 millimeters.
Yeah, cool. Little. Rad. That's cool.
Just thought it was interesting to see. The machine actually isn't even that accurate most of the time, I'm understanding. So it's kind of funny to like be able to measure it, but it doesn't repeat in that kind of accuracy, I don't think. Maybe it can, but it's not. Yeah, it's not. Mm. It's not a Matsura.
That's cool. Nice. I need one of those for my robots. Well, no, I don't, because they're nowhere near that accurate. But having that little, just that little ball bar, whatever it's called, noodle.
You wouldn't want to know.
Could be handy for calibrating things, but I'll just 3D print one. Yeah. That'll be good enough for the robots.
Probably. I mean, I would say, it's like, I bought this one off eBay for $150 from China.
Nice.
And yeah, it's not $500. I'm just going to make a tap piece of steel with an M8 hole and
funk. Funk. Are you getting a fiber laser?
I think so. That was my one. I told Ricky, don't let me buy anything major if we sell the YCM, because the money is just sitting there. Tantalizing. But the thing we actually do, I think we've come to this point of needing, is a fiber. And the product in particular that's kind of turning that for us is we're selling a decent amount of the Fang clamps. And even with my friend who's doing me a favor to laser them at a deal, it still kind of eats into the cost pretty significantly of a low margin product. And there's other things that probably we could have been doing it for, but I mean, the whole point for me of buying the UMC in a short term is to be making more metal related products, thus being able to mark them or brand them fairly easily. All of our torque adapters came in for the torque wrenches, and I want to mark those. And the laser just doesn't really, CO2 doesn't really do any of this. So it just feels like time. To me,
would it be one of those, like, I can't remember what they're called, but like those little ones just on a stand with the little mirror at the top that just goes and just like super fast? What are they called?
Scanning, maybe. Galvo. There's a ton of language to it that I don't fully understand.
Galvo.
From talking to my friend who like has a lasering shop, it seems like we're going to go for a 30 watt. Rakus or JPT. I might buy this Mopo one, which can do colors, which is kind of crazy, but only because it's just like kind of the same price for some reason as the non-Mopo one. And really, I just want to mark a darkish color on stainless or, you know, steel or aluminum or black oxide. So
cool. Yeah, I've been pretty happy with our laser pecker LP4, which I think it's not a fiber, but I think it can do some metal marking. I haven't actually tried it on any metals. But they do, I think their LP5 is a 20 watt fiber laser and can do metallic things. Worth a look at. I've been really impressed with the build quality, and the software is kind of annoying. It's like any laser software. It's kind of just a bit dinky. They're on sale right now, man. But no, don't let me burn holes in your pocket with cash that you don't have yet. But yeah,
I'm good at that on my own.
Our satellites must have just like come within close to orbit because that was.
How's your battery? I'm a little concerned you're going to disappear.
I have disconnected my slight light and plugged the power supply into my laptop, so we're good.
Yes.
But we're still in space, so, you know, I'm worried how shocking the edit of this is going to be, so the longer we go on, the the more pain we may have to endure.
When we have like 6 second gaps, those are probably the easiest thing to see.
I know.
Yeah. This, if it's not clear to anybody and we didn't say it or we cut it out already, Jem's in a car. It seems to be something that's going on where our delay is like legitimately 6 seconds at times. So we just talk on one side until it seems like the other person stopped talking. It's probably terrible. But I've been looking forward to this, so I'll suffer through it.
Yeah, me too.
We'll suffer through it. I did this last night. My friend Nick of P3D messaged me and said he had updated my Fusion bulk importer script that I have on GitHub to an add-in, and he had also done a bunch of other crazy projects. And I was like, oh, that's super cool. And I looked at what he had done, and I was like, oh, that's nice. I'm going to basically do the same thing and like publish it. What that means in a very simple sense is that instead of having to run a script from like the script dialog in Fusion, you can now just click a button or use a keyboard shortcut to like trigger it. And I added a couple more file types, but I don't think many people use them. But if you haven't heard of this, I was frustrated. It's like one of the first code projects I did when AI stuff was starting to become a thing. I was in a hotel trying to quote a job, and I had like a dozen files to put in, like step files to put into Fusion. And I was like, this is stupid. I have to upload all these and insert each file so I can nest them to check it out. So I had, I think at the time, GPT created this very basic script, and I refined it and put it on GitHub, where it just takes as many files basically as you want and inserts them into the open project and makes components out of each one and names them, tells you if any failed. And so I don't know. I can't tell how many times it's been downloaded, but I think people have enjoyed it, and I use it quite often myself just for like a couple files at a time. So yeah, a little bit better now.
That's cool. Does that mean it's officially like in a small way, officially part of Fusion, if it's now like a registered add-in?
It's not registered. Kind of strangely, you can just make your own add-ins, and it's not limited in any sense. It's not on the store, which makes it a little bit easier to install, I think. It's just a zip file you download, and then it's almost the same thing, except for like when you go to use it, it's the interface is better. And there's a logo, there's a little icon.
Nice. Awesome.
Yeah. It's good for job shop work, especially if you do more than one file at a time from a customer.
Yeah. Yeah. I've used it a little bit. I guess I don't deal with bulk step files very often, but the few times I have, it's like, yeah, it's impressive. It just zips them all in there. In a process that's usually horribly slow in Fusion. Too. Yeah, it's amazing. It's cool.
Right. I wish they would just take it and make it part of the program, but, you know, whatever.
Cool bananas.
I think the only other things I have are just weird, interesting videos that I'll mention them and you can go check them out. But I watched the Strange Parts guy on YouTube. He's always in like Asia touring some parts market. I'd seen this advertised, this thing called Nestworks. And it's like this new style of desktop-ish CNC router mill thing that this company called Elephant Robotics. This is this guy's super smart, started a company to make basically like lower priced cobots, as far as I can tell, like smaller ones is also doing some larger ones. So that starts out, he's talking about the cobots, but then he like out of nowhere in the video goes into their Kickstarter where they were trying to make parts for their robots and couldn't get, it's the whole same story as always. They basically decided to start making their own CNC machines because they couldn't get parts made affordably enough or fast enough, even in China. And so now they're making their own CNC machines, which is a Kickstarter for a fairly affordable amount of money. It's got a tool changer. It's a lot of like almost like one click programming of parts. It was fairly rough in terms of what it was doing, but it was fast, like going from here's a file to making it pretty quickly. It has a probe built into it. It was like $3,000 to $5,000 for one of these things. That was pretty interesting.
Cool. I'll check it out. Crazy.
Cool, man.
Well, I hope your loan docs get sorted out very soon. You can close that off. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Me too. That'll be weird. And then figure out, like, do we close up the room again or just take it down or what do we do with it? Don't know. Well, we should end this delay fest.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's wrap up the spacewalk.
Five, six.
I'm coming into land.
Let's try this again. Okay. I'm gonna say something. Tell me when you hear it after I stop talking. I'm gonna count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, 6 seconds. Maybe. Might still be going.
What? I don't understand the test.
Did you get it? Oh, I wanted to see what the delay was.
When do you want me to interject? Like,
when I stop talking, like, how long does it take until you hear it? So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
You haven't stopped talking. I don't get it.
It's so, it's okay. Oh, this is delightful to listen to, I'm sure. All right, let's end this. Goodbye.
Okay, bye.